like so many of the photos on Weekly 50, I took this photo of a little spider on this plant thingy here while I was out for a walk. I saw some flowers in a big old pot. You know how some people have there'll be flowers just planted in the ground, and then some people will do like a giant pot or even small pots and have groups or single flowers in them. So this is one of those. It was a big old pot with a group of flowers in it. And I literally stopped to smell the roses, except they weren't roses. They were these orange things. And I just want to take a closer look at these flowers. I had my camera with me, and I thought, well, everyone takes pictures of flowers. This is no big deal. But on this one stem or whatever it is here, I saw this red spider. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And I kind of watched him for a minute, and I thought it'd make a good picture. So the first thing I noticed is I had to manual focus. The spider was a little too close. I don't have a macro lens. My brother Phil was asking me a week ago about macro lenses, and macro lenses are lenses that just have the ability to focus much, much closer. So if you've got a 50 or 100 millimeter macro lens, it means you can get extreme depth of field with your subject very, very close to the lens. So you can get right up next to your subject. If you're photographing insects or flowers or anything in nature, it's really cool to have a macro lens because you can get right next to your subject and get super, super shallow depth of field. So like you can get individual legs on a spider in focus and out of focus. It's really cool. Anyway, I don't have a macro lens, but on my 50 lens, it won't autofocus or has trouble autofocusing really close, but you can manually focus if it's a little closer. So that's what I did here. It wasn't a big deal. I had some practice with that spider web photo from a few weeks ago. If you want to find out a little bit more about manual focus, I took a few photos and I made sure to compose it so that the background didn't distract. So there's those right now, the spider in the background, you see that lump of green, which is actually a tree. I wanted to make sure that there was something that kind of accentuated the red body of the spider. And if I would have turned a few degrees to the right, the spider would have been and the background would have been that the white haze of the clouds, and you wouldn't have noticed the spider as much. So I had to make sure that the background elements complemented my subject and brought my subject out a little bit. And I had to play around with that just a little bit, but I think I got it. I like the orange and green tones of the photo as well, and then of the photo overall, and then you've got the red and black body of the spider. It's kind of a nice contrast. I thought was kind of cool. You can also see a little bug on the same plant. So if you look down, there's like a little tiny little fly or something. And it kind of looks like that thing it's on its way to challenge the spider to its throne at the top of the hill, at the top of the plant. So I thought that was kind of cool. I shot this at f1.8, which is maybe a tad too shallow. It was actually an accident. I forgot that I was at f1.8. And it worked out okay, though. Normally, it's a little too shallow. I like to go to f2.8 as my starting point, or f4. But it's nice to be able to have f1.8 if you've got it. And I think it's maybe a little too shallow depth of field, but it works. I'm happy with the result. One of the lessons that I learned about this is look closer. I didn't intend on taking a photo of a red spider on a plant, but I was out walking and I decided to look closer and examine my surroundings. And sure enough, I got a photo. It doesn't always happen. It's not like every time you look closer at a plant, you'll get a good photo. But you never know what you'll find if you just stop and look around. Also, it's helpful to frame your shot. So if you just have an interesting subject with nothing else interesting in the frame, your photo's not going to be as good as it could be if the subject was framed properly within the context of the background, excuse me, or whatever else is in the shot. Also, I want to make a note. This is originally a 10 megapixel photo. It's taken on my D200 like most of these photos, and I cropped it down to 8 megapixels. So why do I mention this? Well, to illustrate that megapixels don't really matter, and for the most part, we've gotten away from this whole megapixel race, but there are some people who think that you can judge a camera's quality by the megapixels, and that's simply not true. This camera, the camera itself is 10 years old, and it's only 10 megapixels, and you look at today on a shelf and you think that's a worthless camera. Well, not really. There's still a lot you can do with 10 megapixels, especially when you have to crop it. You can still do that. Now, my D7100 is 24 megapixels. It's way overkill for most situations. It's occasionally useful for extreme cropping, but it's 10 is plenty for daily shooting. Most iPhone cameras are 8 megapixels. Megapixels simply don't matter like we like people sometimes might think. So keep that in mind if you're looking for a camera. Don't look at the megapixels. What's really important are the lens and the optics. Anyway, if you have a question about that, just leave a comment, and I'll be happy to talk about it a little further with you.